Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the UBS Conversations podcast channel. As part of the planning podcast series for today, we are joined by Jennifer Lan as well as Chelsea Rubio. Both wrote the 2025 Year-End Planning Strategies Guide. Jennifer and Chelsea are members of the Advanced Planning Group here at UBS, which helps ultra-high net worth families and individuals with estate planning, tax planning, family office structuring, and other planning issues and strategies. Jennifer is a senior wealth strategist based in Dallas, Texas, and Chelsea is an associate wealth strategist based in Washington, D.C. So with that, Jennifer, Chelsea, thank you both for dropping by UBS Conversations for a very timely discussion as we're quickly nearing the end of 2025. With that, to begin to set the table, Jennifer, can you tell our listeners a bit about this year's year-end piece and the structure of it?
Of course, happy to. So this year-end piece format is provides kind of an overview of a handful of selected topics to really be mindful of. There are four main focus areas: income tax planning, wealth transfer planning, trust planning and administration, and charitable giving. Each of these main focus areas does have subsections with some more specific ideas to consider and to think through with an eye towards the end of the year and also the changing tax laws that are coming in 2026.
Okay, so with that background, mindful that the white paper provides a ton of planning ideas for clients, perhaps each one of you could highlight one topic for clients listening in today to keep top of mind as year-end approaches and in light of the new changes to some of the tax laws coming up in 2026. Chelsea, why don't you begin?
Sure. One consideration that clients may want to implement is accelerating payments of deductible expenses in 2025. Under the new tax law, the standard deduction amounts are $15,750 for unmarried individuals other than surviving spouses or heads of households, $31,500 for married couples filing jointly, and $23,625 for heads of households. In 2026 and thereafter, those amounts will be adjusted for inflation. The new 2025 tax law includes incremental reductions of the tax benefit from itemized deductions and places a floor on charitable contribution deductions. So individuals in the top income tax bracket may wish to consider accelerating the payment of deductible expenses in 2025 to avoid the reduced benefit of itemized deductions in 2026 while keeping income tax liability and alternative minimum tax in mind. Given the new limits on the standard deduction and itemized deduction, those deciding between utilizing one deduction over the other might consider strategically bunching the itemized deductions in certain tax years to take advantage of these changes.
And to kind of piggyback on some of that, some of those changes revolve around charitable giving. So starting in 2026, the new 2025 tax law sets a minimum threshold that individual taxpayers' charitable contributions have to exceed in order for the taxpayer to get any benefit from claiming itemized deductions. That threshold is 0.5% of an individual taxpayer's adjusted gross income. So basically, that means if an individual taxpayer's contribution base is $1 million and they itemize their deductions, then that taxpayer receives no benefit for the first $5,000 that they contribute to charity. So these new charitable restrictions do not go into effect until 2026, so the limitation does not apply to charitable contributions made in 2025. So therefore, individuals who are itemizing their deductions in 2025 should consider, you know, their charitable deductions count, you know, beginning with that very first dollar. We don't have that threshold yet. And so, again, to kind of piggyback on the bunching, some people are considering front-loading their charitable deductions in 2025 rather than waiting to 2026, especially if they're concerned about meeting that 0.5% threshold.
Okay, so a lot there to be mindful of. Switching gears a bit, since you both specialize in estate planning, can you provide us with two focus items for clients to be mindful of that advanced planning is discussing this year end? Chelsea, beginning with you.
Yes, sure. So I think clients should consider continuing making gifts using their lifetime exemption if they still have any remaining. Next year, it's set to be $15 million. The lifetime exemption, which is gift and estate tax exemption. Gifts are those that don't qualify for the gift tax annual exclusion, tuition exclusion, medical expense exclusion, marital deduction or charitable deduction. In tax parlance, like, these are really just called taxable gifts. And even though an individual doesn't pay any gift tax on them until the total amount of those gifts that individual makes during their life exceeds their exemption. In 2025, an individual's lifetime exemption is $13.99 million, but under the new tax law set for next year, it's going to increase to $15 million, like I said, with an annual inflation adjustment beginning in 2027. So by making gifts using one's lifetime exemption, an individual potentially removes from their estate any future appreciation with respect to some property that they would give away.
And then another thing that we are kind of looking at, especially with the focus on year end, is, you know, sometimes grantors or beneficiaries of non-grantor trusts might ask the trustee to consider distributing the trust's income, or even depending on the terms of the trust and how it's structured, the trust capital gains to the beneficiaries, because sometimes those beneficiaries are taxed at a lower rate than the trust is. This may be more tax efficient because trusts are subject to compressed income tax brackets and a lower threshold for the 3.8% net investment income tax. There's also a 65-day rule, so the trustee could make distributions within the first 65 days of 2026, and for tax purposes, treat it as if those distributions were made on December 31st of 2025. This gives the trustee kind of some extra time to evaluate whether or not it's a good idea to make distributions to beneficiaries, obviously for income tax purposes. But, you know, we don't look at it just from an income tax perspective. We also need to think about the goals and objectives of the trust, kind of the situations of the beneficiary before we make any kind of tax-motivated distributions to a beneficiary.
Well, Jennifer, Chelsea, very insightful and timely conversation. So thank you both again for dropping by UBS Conversations to spend some time today with our listeners and clients. Again, I do want to highlight the 2025 Year-End Planning Strategies Guide, which Jennifer and Chelsea have been making reference to on today's conversation. For you, our clients of UBS, please be sure to have a follow-up conversation with your UBS financial advisor on these year-end topics. And your UBS financial advisor can also provide you with a direct copy of the 2025 Year-End Planning Strategies Guide from the UBS Advanced Planning Group. With that, Jennifer, Chelsea, thank you again for dropping by.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Financial Services, Inc. does not provide legal or tax advice, and this does not constitute such advice. UBS strongly recommends that persons obtain appropriate independent legal, tax, and other professional advice. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.